Blog Talk Radio.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to Fantasy Football Huddle. You know what time it is? You know that it's time to gather around your fantasy captain, Tom, as I guide you through week 12. It is time to find out who to set, who to trade, and to see if your team is in the toilet. So sit back, boys and girls, and enjoy another episode of Fantasy Football Huddle. Tom will break it down for you. That's right, boys and girls, it is Fantasy Football Huddle. Man, where has the year gone? Here it is, Thanksgiving weekend already. Hope all of you had a good turkey day with your family, plenty of tryptophan and plenty of naps and extra time to break down your fantasy team this week, because a lot of your leagues are getting to that crucial point where it's time to set up or shut up, or as your team might accidentally be in the toilet. And so we'll see what we can do to get you out of the toilet and get you on your road to your fantasy playoffs. As most of you know, your teams are probably starting to take shape. You're probably starting to see who's going to be in the playoffs and who's not. And now's the time, if your trade line deadline hasn't already passed, although I'm going to assume that most of your trade deadlines have already passed. If not, you're probably definitely in the final week this week. But don't be afraid to go out there on the waiver wire, because keep in mind that a lot of your good teams this year, your good fantasy teams, have suffered injuries just like everybody else. And the injuries have plagued all of the fantasy football leagues, myself included. I know a lot of people here on the balance have been plagued with, on our balance league, have been plagued with various different types of injuries. And so I want to make sure that you follow and look at your injury report every week, because that can change. Because just because someone practiced on Wednesday doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be playing on Sunday, and especially if they're in a travel type situation to where they're traveling, one of the things you certainly want to look at is, did that particular person, even though they practiced on Wednesday, did that particular person travel with the team to the particular destination on who the team that they were wanting to play? So, you know, that certainly is a situation that you've got to look at each and every week as you adjust your lineups. And you and you move forward, because injuries can certainly play a major part. So some of the injuries that we're looking at this week here on Fantasy Football Huddle, I'm just going to go through a couple of the injuries that we're looking at. Obviously, what you want to look at is your particular league, who's hosting your league, whether it's CBS or ESPN or NFL.com. All of those sites have a link or a hyperlink that you can click on that breaks down every injury. And of course, on your roster, most of the leagues out there will let you know if there's an injury out there and how you can miss an injury on your active roster escapes me totally, unless you have something out there called a life or something and you actually work for a living or Now, I understand that a lot of you don't have time to break down the fantasy stuff like your fantasy god, Tom, here in the huddle. That's why you come every Saturday morning. I'm glad you're here. You can find me on Facebook under The Balance. You can also email me on tbalance@ymail.com and follow us on Twitter on tbalance. Now, all of us are encompassed together. All of our different programs are encompassed into The Balance Fantasy Football Huddle. Of course, The Balance, our flagship show. And then coming up tomorrow is our second episode of ICU, Indiana Up Close, where we just break down Indiana sports, what it's about, and just kind of segment different Indiana sports and what it's about. One of the couple things that we're going to talk about in tomorrow's show is the Old Oak and Bucket, which is going to be playing later today. We're certainly going to get into some of the game details on that later today, but some of the history of Oak and Bucket we're going to talk about on ICU tomorrow. And then also we're going to talk a little about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So just those are just some of the things to think about. But again, getting back to the injuries here, some of the things, people that we're looking at, obviously the Colts, and we're going to start with the Colts because, well, you know, they're my team, and that's you know, they have a lot of fantasy players, and you know, it's my show, so I'm going to say who goes first. Joseph Addai is, I don't look for him to play. He's been out of practice, and he's not been playing consistent. And I think in a game against San Diego, they're going to keep him out. So if you've got Joseph Addai on your active roster, I'd certainly move him out. Austin Colley, he's out. I think that we're not going to see him again for probably a couple more weeks. And so, you know, those are the two. Of course, Reggie Wayne is questionable. I think that Reggie, if Reggie can play at all, he's definitely going to play. You know, over there in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, he's got a problem with his abdomen, and he's questionable. But there again, I would look for him to play as well. And, you know, McCuster with Kansas City, he's questionable. Miami Dolphins, we've got Chad Heen. Did I say that right, boys and girls? Anyway, quarterback, he's got a knee situation, and he also is questionable. So those are some of the other ones with the Patriots. Tom Brady, very questionable, but everybody on the Patriots injury list is always questionable. So, and, of course, the Saints have already played, so we're not going to really get into them. Steve Smith is out again, so I want to make sure that you've made those adjustments if you didn't already know that. Marquise Cole with the Jets, cornerback, he's got a hamstring injury there. So Brad Smith with the Jets, also the Raiders situation. Zach Miller, he's out. I won't say he's out, but he's very questionable. There. So those are just some of the injuries that are going on around the league. We don't have time to break them all down. I wish that we do. We did here in the huddle, but we would certainly, you know, encourage you to go to your particular sports host and look at that, whether that be CBS or ESPN or NFL. Those are the biggest ones out there. Of course, you know, there's leagues everywhere that are hosted through either the Facebook, I believe, has one, and so forth. So there's a lot of different people out there who host their own type situations on the injuries. Okay, real quick, boys and girls, we're going to break down last week's action. Just kind of break down, you know, in fantasy, a recap of what happened last week in Week 11. Obviously, the Vikings got waxed again. So we know what happened there. The Dallas is 2-0 under the interim with Jason Garrett. Although, those of you that watched a little football on Thursday know that Dallas just fell on their face against the Saints, and we'll get into that. And I was also, stunned that the Chargers had so many injuries or holdouts to key players at key positions, and yet they still win games. You got Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson, Ryan Matthews, and the Chargers have 35 points. Phillip Rivers. It's just, they just keep coming and coming and coming. And so, there was a lot of good games that happened. Obviously, we could get into the whole Peyton Manning dilemma of what happened there with New England. Oh, my God. How many of you guys were cussing at the television? I understand that it was a team decision, but Peyton Manning, come on. You're the captain. You're the fantasy god. We all bow down to you. We're not worthy to be in your presence. And yet you make a boneheaded mistake of throwing a interception to Pierre Garçon. Now, all of us fantasy owners know you never throw to Butterfingers Garçon. And that's just kind of a situation I'm joking. I love Peyton Manning. He's my boy. He does a great job, and that just goes to show that not every quarterback's perfect out there. So I won't rag on him too much. But come on, Peyton, come on, man up next time on that one. Enough said there. I know you beat yourself up on it, and certainly take responsibility for that loss, which isn't anything what I was trying to imply. But I would tell you that when you call me again, Peyton, we'll have a discussion about that. Yeah, like Peyton, I got him on the other line here. He's got my personal cell phone. He's calling me. Right. Yeah, nibble on that turkey bone there for a while, boys and girls. Well, we're going to come right back, and when we get back, we're going to talk about who to start, who to set in Week 12 right here on Fantasy Football Huddle. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men.
I got the guy that was digging on the road right there.
Okay, hey, we got two guys digging on the road.
Yep, they're trying to hide now.
Roger. Target 5, we're tracking possibly 2 to 3 individuals. There's a hot spot on the road. The convoy just passed. It's approximately midnight right now.
Looks like these guys are trying to employ some IEDs.
All right, get eyes back on them.
Behind the structures. Got eyes on them.
Roger, if you could, keep eyes on them.
Roger, got eyes on.
Track out 2 to 3 individuals
on the side of the road.
We have everything we need for a hostile intent and act.
It's just to the west of
Roger,
the road.
Roger, we're checking to make sure there's not an ANA checkpoint or anything right now.
Good copy. We've got eyes on. They're not going anywhere. There's plenty of open terrain, so we'll So go to the hole.
Yep, right
there.
Got the hole right here.
Okay.
When we came on station, I saw one individual look like he was digging in the hole. As soon as they heard the helicopters, one guy kind of
went back.
Was bent down, running over to this area here, where it looked like another individual was in an overwatch position. Yeah, these guys are kind of like crouched down now, hiding in what looks like a little hole. All right, one individual just stood up.
All right, he's sneaking out to the road.
Looks like he's tiptoeing out to the road, sneaking. Now he's down in a hole again.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to see what else he does just to build our case. And then we're going to lead off with Hellfire, follow up with 30 millimeter. Left and right break. I'll call out my gun target line.
Hey, Roger. We currently have eyes on three individuals. Two of them in the hole. One looks like he's facing to the west. One to the east and one in the hole.
Okay, Roger. What we're going to do is we're going to wait till he goes back to his buddies, and then we'll try to hit them all.
Good.
Yeah, it looks like they got an overwatch position. That's where he came from.
Be advised, we're going to engage these individuals. Currently observed one individual. He's back out in the hole right now. Looks like he's placing something heavy in there.
He's running a wire.
We're engaging. All right, we're going to...
Roger, it's on UHP at PID. If you're clear, go ahead and shoot.
Yep.
Roger, we have everything.
And welcome back to Fantasy Football Huddle. Kevin, are you there with me? I know he's having some voice issues today. We're having, again, some technical problems, and I want to apologize for that, for the issues that Fantasy Football Huddle has. I tell you what we are going to do, and I understand that this is going to put us a little bit of behind the time for the balance. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, yes I am, Tom.
What I'm going to do is give you time to rest your voice a little bit, and I do apologize to all of our listeners. We're going to go ahead and just restart the huddle and let it run all the way through. So just so you guys know, in about 11 minutes, you will hear some dead air for about a minute, and then it'll come back on, and then we'll join you for the last part of the hour for the balance. And we apologize for that. And so, Kevin, do you have anything to add that you can add?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. I'm about to play fantasy football.
Okay.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to Fantasy Football Huddle. You know what time it is? You know that it's time to gather around your fantasy captain, Tom, as I guide you through week 12. It is time to find out who to set, who to trade, and to see if your team is in the toilet. So sit back, boys and girls, and enjoy another episode of Fantasy Football Huddle. Tom will break it down for you. That's right, boys and girls. It is Fantasy Football Huddle. Man, where has the year gone? Here it is, Thanksgiving weekend already. Hope all of you had a good turkey day with your family, plenty of tryptophan and plenty of naps and extra time to break down your fantasy team this week, because a lot of your leagues are getting to that crucial point where it's time to set up or shut up, or as your team might accidentally be in the toilet. And so we'll see what we can do to get you out of the toilet and get you on your road to your fantasy playoffs. As most of you know, your teams are probably starting to take shape. You're probably starting to see who's going to be in the playoffs and who's not. And now's the time, if your trade line deadline hasn't already passed, although I'm going to assume that most of your trade deadlines have already passed. If not, you're probably definitely in the final week this week. But don't be afraid to go out there on the waiver wire, because keep in mind that a lot of your good teams this year, your good fantasy teams, have suffered injuries just like everybody else. And the injuries have plagued all of the fantasy football leagues, myself included. I know a lot of people here on the balance have been plagued with, on our balance league, have been plagued with various different types of injuries. And so I want to make sure that you follow and look at your injury report every week, because that can change. Because just because someone practiced on Wednesday doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be playing on Sunday, and especially if they're in a travel type situation to where they're traveling, one of the things you certainly want to look at is, did that particular person, even though they practiced on Wednesday, did that particular person travel with the team to the particular destination on who the team that they were wanting to play? So, you know, that certainly is a situation that you've got to look at each and every week as you adjust your lineups and you move forward, because injuries can certainly play a major part. So some of the injuries that we're looking at this week here on Fantasy Football Huddle, I'm just going to go through a couple of the injuries that we're looking at. Obviously, what you want to look at is your particular league, who's hosting your league, whether it's CBS or ESPN or NFL.com. All of those sites have a link or hyperlink that you can click on that breaks down every injury. And of course, on your roster, most of the leagues out there will let you know if there's an injury out there, and how you can miss an injury on your active roster escapes me totally, unless you have something out there called a life or something and you actually work for a living or Now I understand that a lot of you don't have time to break down the fantasy stuff like your fantasy god Tom here in the huddle. That's why you come every Saturday morning. I'm glad you're here. You can find me on Facebook under The Balance. You can also email me on tbalance@ymail.com and follow us on Twitter on tbalance. Now, all of us are encompassed together. All of our different programs are encompassed into The Balance Fantasy Football Huddle. Of course, The Balance, our flagship show. And then coming up tomorrow is our second episode of ICU, Indiana Up Close, where we just break down Indiana sports, what it's about, and just kind of segment different Indiana sports and what it's about. One of the couple things that we're going to talk about in tomorrow's show is the Old Oak and Bucket, which is going to be playing later today. We're certainly going to get into some of the game details on that later today, but some of the history of Oak and Bucket we're going to talk about on ICU tomorrow. And then also we're going to talk a little about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So just those are just some of the things to think about. But again, getting back to the injuries here, some of the things, people that we're looking at, obviously the Colts, and we're going to start with the Colts because, well, you know, they're my team, and that's you know, they have a lot of fantasy players, and you know, it's my show, so I'm going to say who goes first. Joseph Addai is, I don't look for him to play. He's been out of practice, and he's not been playing consistent. And I think in a game against San Diego, they're going to keep him out. So if you've got Joseph Addai on your active roster, I'd certainly move him out. Austin Colley, he's out. I think that we're not going to see him again for probably a couple more weeks. And so, you know, those are the two. Of course, Reggie Wayne is questionable. I think that Reggie, if Reggie can play at all, he's definitely going to play. You know, over there in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, he's got a problem with his abdomen, and he's questionable. But there again, I would look for him to play as well. And, you know, McCluster with Kansas City, he's questionable. Miami Dolphins, we've got Chad Heen. Did I say that right, boys and girls? Anyway, quarterback, he's got a knee situation, and he also is questionable. So those are some of the other ones. With the Patriots, Tom Brady, very questionable, but everybody on the Patriots injury list is always questionable. So, and of course, the Saints have already played, so we're not going to really get into them. Steve Smith is out again, so I want to make sure that you've made those adjustments if you didn't already know that. Marquise Cole with the Jets, a cornerback, he's got a hamstring injury there. So Brad Smith with the Jets, also the Raiders situation. Zach Miller, he's out. I won't say he's out, but it's very questionable. There. So those are just some of the injuries that are going on around the league. We don't have time to break them all down. I wish that we do. We did here in the huddle, but we would certainly, you know, encourage you to again to go to your particular sports host and look at that, whether that be CBS or ESPN or NFL. Those are the biggest ones out there. Of course, you know, there's leagues everywhere that are hosted through either the Facebook, I believe, has one, and so forth. So there's a lot of different people out there who host their own type situations on the injuries. Okay, real quick, boys and girls, we're gonna break down last week's action. Just kind of break down, you know, in fantasy, a recap of what happened last week in Week 11. You know, obviously, the Vikings got waxed again. So we know what happened there. The Dallas is 2-0 under the interim with Jason Garrett. Although, those of you that watched a little football on Thursday know that Dallas just fell on their face against the Saints, and we'll get into that. You know, and I was also, you know, stunned that the Chargers had so many injuries or holdouts to key players at key positions, and yet they still win games. You got Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson, Ryan Matthews, and the Chargers have 35 points. Phillip Rivers. You know, it's just, they just keep coming and coming and coming. And so, you know, there was a lot of good games that happened. Obviously, we could get into the whole Peyton Manning dilemma of what happened there with New England. Oh, my God. How many of you guys were cussing at the television? You know, I understand that it was a team decision, but Peyton Manning, come on. You're the captain. You're the fantasy god. We all bow down to you. We're not worthy to be in your presence. And yet you make a boneheaded mistake of throwing a interception to Pierre Garçon. Now, all of us fantasy owners know you never throw to Butterfingers Garçon. And so, you know, that's just kind of a situation I'm joking. I love Peyton Manning. He's my boy. He does a great job. And, you know, that just goes to show that not every quarterback's perfect out there. So I won't rag on him too much. But come on, Peyton, come on. Man up next time on that one. Enough said there. I know you beat yourself up on it and certainly take responsibility for that loss, which isn't anything what I was trying to imply. But I would tell you that when you call me again, Peyton, we'll have a discussion about that. Yeah, like Peyton, I got him on the other line here. He's got my personal cell phone. He's calling me. Right. Yeah, nibble on that turkey bone there for a while, boys and girls. Well, We're going to come right back, and when we get back, we're going to talk about who to start, who to set in Week 12 right here on Fantasy Football Huddle.
Okay, break it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
Are you ready, boys and girls? Are you ready to work it out? Are you ready to decide who to start and who to set? Welcome back to Fantasy Football Huddle, boys and girls. We are going to break it down for you. Who to start, who to set, and who to just plain let go or put on your bench. My name's Tom. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Huddle. Boys and girls, we are approaching the crucial time where every player makes a difference in your week. So let's just jump right into it. That's what I say. Of course, quarterbacks. You need to know who to start on your quarterbacks. I like Big Ben this week. They're playing at Buffalo, and I like the way Roethlisberger has been able to make a comeback. He's coming off two outstanding games and should be able to make it three in a row against the Bills. Buffalo has allowed multiple touchdown passes to seven quarterbacks this year, and Roethlisberger has four games and at least two touchdowns and six starts, including two in a row against New England and Oakland. He has 662 passing yards, seven total touchdowns, and one interception over that span, and he should be considered a must-start fantasy. So if you got Big Ben out there in Pittsburgh, make sure that you're starting him. I also like Sean Hill. They're playing over there in New England. Hill played pretty good last week against Dallas with 289 passing yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. And it was his fourth game with at least 21 fantasy points and seven starts this season. And it's clear that Detroit passing attack. Now, that said, boys and girls, remember this show is taped. So you should have already played Sean Hill because, they played a pretty good game against New England. So just to kind of let you know about that. Joe Flacco against Tampa Bay. Flacco out there in Baltimore has been putting up outstanding stats in the past five games and has the chance for another good performance this week against the Bucs. And in the past five outings against New England, Buffalo, Miami, Atlanta, and Carolina, Flacco has 11 touchdowns with one interception and at least 250 passing yards in any of those games. And I've got him myself in one of my leagues, so I would definitely tell you to start Joe Flacco. Kyle Horton. I like him. He's struggled a little bit last week at San Diego, but I think he'll bounce back. He's at home. He's playing St. Louis, who's still trying to find themselves. And I do want to give them their props. They're doing a fantastic job this year. Certainly a lot better than what we've seen in years past. So I go ahead and start Kyle Orton, and then Sanchez against Cincinnati. Hopefully it won't take overtime or any late game heroics for Sanchez to produce this week. My goodness, How about them Sanchez-Santonio Holmes hookups at the end of the game for the Jets to win that? I'm going to tell you what, boy, if you're a Jets fan, you're holding on to your pacemaker the last couple of weeks. Let me tell you what. Who I like in my sleeper category this week for quarterbacks, Matt Castle at Seattle. Castle has been among one of the best quarterbacks in the past six games with at least 19 fantasy points in five of those outings, including three in a row. He's taken advantage of some quality matchups against Houston, Jacksonville, and Buffalo, Denver, and Arizona. And this game against the Seattle Seahawks falls right in line with that. And I think Matt Castle is going to have a good game in Seattle. I don't know what happened to you guys. Maybe. Maybe it's the coaching changes. I don't know, but you guys have just gone into a world all by yourself. All right, who to set this week? Put him on your bench. I don't care how much you like him. Listen to Uncle Tom here as I tell you the truth. And when you're going to come back, you're going to start crying like little babies to... That's right. I'm gonna
fire my sound effect guy. Well, that definitely sounded like a little baby, but it sounded like one was dying on me. Oh well. I guess you get the point, boys and girls. Don't cry like grown men, like a bunch of bitches. All right, here we go. Set 'em, Jay Cutler against Philadelphia. This is not going to be a good week to trust Cutler. The Eagles lead NFL in interceptions with 19 and are among the league leaders in sacks with 26. They have more interceptions than touchdowns allowed in the past three games, so I would certainly set Jay Cutler. Carson Palmer, he's at the Jets. The Jets' pass defense has stepped up recently and should be able to contain Palmer this matchup, especially with Palmer along with the foot injury. John Kitna, they're playing there against New Orleans. Kitna has been pretty amazing for fantasy owners since Jason Garrett took over. There again, keep in mind, this show is taped, and you already know what happened with that Dallas and New Orleans game. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on there, because if you didn't set him, well, it's too late now, that's for sure. David Gerrard at the Giants. Gerrard struggled last week against Cleveland with 14 fantasy points, and what should have been a good matchup has been his first game without Mike Sims-Walker, who's got a hurt ankle. Sims-Walker is out again this week, and Gerrard could have another bad game. I'd go ahead and make sure that for insurance purposes that you set him. Keep in mind, what you're doing now is you're trying to get your team to win so that you're in a playoff position. So it's very, very important that you play the appropriate people according to matchups. And it's not always just the matchup of the team that you're playing. It's who that particular player is playing, in case you haven't figured that out by now, rookies. Donovan McNabb against Minnesota. McNabb is coming off a solid game last week. I realize that, against the Titans with 376 yards and one touchdown and one interception. But he could be in trouble this week. I'm expecting the Vikings to come out motivated this week. Now that Leslie Frazier has been promoted from defense coordinator to the interim head coach over there in Minnesota. Big bunch of stuff going on there. And Donovan McNabb, like I said, he's coming off a good solid game. And I know McNabb is prone to have bad outings already with five games this season with 15 points. I just don't like him in this situation. So I would go ahead and set him in. My total bust alert this week goes to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick was impressive last week, that is true, with 33 fantasy points against the Bengals, but he took advantage of Cincinnati's secondary falling apart in the second half when Chris Crocker hurt his knee, Roy Williams got a concussion, and Jonathan Joseph's ankle got hurt. Fitzpatrick was 11 of 21 passes for 177 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions in the first half of the injuries after the three defenders got hurt. So, my thing is to go ahead and I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Going into running backs, boys and girls, Mike Tolbert at Indianapolis. Okay, guys, look, I know you guys are fellow Colt fans like myself, okay? And I hate to tell you who to play against the Colts, but I got Mike Tolbert as well. I'm going to have to play him. He was someone that I liked a lot heading into Week 11, and he responded with an outstanding game against Denver with 25 carries and 111 yards and a touchdown and two catches and 42 yards. Come on, fantasy owners. Start Mike Tolbert. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Man, that's a long name. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He just wanted to include everybody in his family, I guess that. Green Ellis and Woodhead are both in my top 24 of running backs this week because they should be able to duplicate what they did in last week's performance against the Lions. Detroit has allowed 8 running backs to reach double digits in fantasy points with 13 total touchdowns, and New England is looking explosive on an offensive holes with both running backs, Green Ellis, double digits in fantasy points. Brandon Jacobs, again, he's playing against Jacksonville. There are 3 things working in Jacobs' favor this week. There are 3 things working in Jacobs' favor this week. See, when I slow down and speak like this, I am very, very eloquent at speaking. I got a speaking problem. Like I said, I think it's just too much tryptophan. But I definitely would start Brandon Jacob. Thomas Jones. There have only been 2 times this season where the Seahawks did not allow running backs to score a touchdown, which was in Week 1 against San Francisco and Week 3 against San Diego. Otherwise, they've had 11 touchdowns to opposing running backs and 10 reaching double digits in fantasy points. So Thomas Jones at Seattle, I definitely start him. My sleeper alert, boys and girls, Donald Brown is back. That's right. Right here in Indianapolis. Joseph Addai. I don't look for him to play. We've already talked about that. He's hurt. So, who's your handcuff, guys? Come on. Donald Brown. Although, personally, I don't know how he's going to do, but I want to put him in as a sleeper this week. I'm excited to see how he's going to do. And Brown should be the starter again here in Week 12 against San Diego. Like I said earlier, with Joseph Addai out and Mike Hart has now that's who I like. Boy, I like that heart. That boy is little, but he does have some heart. He certainly lives up to his name. And he had a solid game, and we're talking again about Donald Brown. He had a solid game in Week 11 at New England with 108 total yards. He will look to build that performance against the Chargers. It won't be easy since San Diego is number 3 in run defenses. But I like him for my sleeper this week on running back. Set him. Brandon Jackson at Atlanta. Jackson has had his worst game since Week 4 against Detroit last week at Minnesota. Marshawn Lynch, set him. Ronnie Brown, set him. Beanie Wells, set him. Cedric Benson, set him. My bust alert, Fred Jackson versus Pittsburgh. Jackson was the number 1 running back in the standard leagues in Week 11. So those are my situations there. Wide receivers, boys and girls, while we still got a little bit of time left here in who we're going to start, who we're going to set. Wide receivers, Vincent Jackson, another Charger coming into Indianapolis. I know, too. What is going on? Mind-boggling, I tell you. Vincent Jackson has been waiting for this week. And when Jackson would return the field following his holdout and suspension, he has a chance to play well. And I tell you what, the Chargers are going to have a very good game plan coming in here to Indianapolis. And they're going to be able to make it happen tomorrow. So I certainly look forward to that game, to watch it, and to see what the fantasy players will do. But Vincent Jackson, Mario Manningham, he is against Jacksonville. No Nix or Smith means Manningham is now the number 1, guys. So there again, you heard it here from me. Go pick him up if he's available in a lot of leagues. I was really shocked to see that. Of course, after my broadcast, and this is broadcast all over the United States, then and on iTunes and all over the internet, you're going to be lucky if you can pick up Mario Manningham. So right now, go pick him up, boys and girls. You're up early this morning. Go ahead and just minimize the screen where you're listening to us and go pick up Mario Manningham. Nate Washington, I like him. Let's go ahead and start him. Sidney Rice. And my sleeper alert in wide receivers is Blair White. That's right. I know. Two sleepers. Your guys are magical. You guys think that I'm just all about the Colts this week. Hey, I'm trying to play my 12th man here and be biased at the same time. But at the same time, I really, really like Blair White being my sleeper. It's not just because I'm a Colts fan. I know you guys are going to say, oh, it's because you're a Colts fan. That's why you think Blair White's going to be your sleeper. No, actually, Colley's out, right? He's got a concussion, and he's not going to play this week, which means White should see an increase in targets as the slot receiver for the Colts. And we saw White play at a high level last week in New England with 5 catches and 42 yards and 2 touchdowns and 7 targets. When Colley got injured, it's not an ideal matchup for the Colts, and San Diego's number one in pass defense, but the Chargers aren't going to shut down Peyton.
And a big opportunity here for the Saints defensively to get a stop. Kitna throws and hits Roy Williams. What a conversion. Down inside the 15. Ball comes out, and they're saying that it belongs to New Orleans. Malcolm Jenkins. And we'll take another look at this. Let's take a look at the end of the play and see when it comes out.
We got the arm in there and went for the strip.
Yep.
It definitely came out and right into the arms of Malcolm Jenkins. That's just one great play by Malcolm Jenkins, who Greg Williams says is the best defensive player they have on their team.
That ball never hit the ground, and Jenkins just ripped it out as he and Roy Williams went to the ground inside the 15. They'll mark it at the 11, and Drew Brees now has his team down by 4 with 1 timeout left and 3:03 on the clock.
Welcome, Tom. How are you today? Oh, doing good.
Hey, welcome to another episode of The Balance. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry about the bumpy road there between the huddle and the... I understand that was... You're kind of like, what? WTF? Hey, really what happened is we had the show taped, Fantasy Football Huddle, and just kind of give you a little bit of... radio talk. We have the show in the can, and we didn't put the commercials in the can, and when we went to commercial break, it restarted the huddle, so there was no way to fast forward to the point where we were at just because of our current setup. So we had to restart the huddle, and for time purposes, we wanted to make sure that we got the balance in. We had to fade out of that, but I do want to make sure that you guys know that, you know, the shows will all be in archives and that sort of stuff. So we'll try to get the full show on an archive here coming up soon so that you got everything. But really, you pretty much got the logist of where we were at. I think we cut it about maybe 5 or 6 minutes short. So, Kevin, we're going to jump into the matchup. So the question is, Do you have what it takes to match up with my voice today?
Well, I will say this. You call yourself the fantasy god, but who's in first place?
you sound like a dog on grown-ups. My goodness. Well, I'm sorry, I am driving in modern cell technology. I didn't make that last part out that you were saying. So let's just go ahead and salvage what's left of the balance today, Kevin. And
let's go with
Kevin with no vocal cords.
Green Bay at Atlanta, Tom. Who do you got?
I'm going to go ahead and take Atlanta on that. I know a lot of people are rooting for Green Bay on this one, but I'm going to go for Atlanta on that one.
Well, I am too. As a matter of fact, I sat Aaron Rodgers because I think Atlanta's defense is going to be a little bit too much for fantasy points. Pittsburgh at Buffalo, for me, a no-brainer. near Pittsburgh.
You know, I agree. I think Pittsburgh's going to win this, and I certainly earlier in the huddle I talked about starting Ben Roethlisberger, and I think he's going to have a magnificent game, and I think this is a no-brainer. But at the same time, I have seen some Buffalo play some pretty good football with some pretty good teams. So I wouldn't be surprised anyway if they stayed in this game. But yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh on this.
Carolina at Cleveland. I will go with Cleveland just because it's in Cleveland.
Right. Carolina has certainly been a big disappointment this year, and Cleveland has been able to stay with some pretty good teams and has been right there in a lot of situations. So I'm going to go ahead and also go with Cleveland on this.
All right. Then we got Tennessee at Houston. Both teams good. I'm going to have to go Houston on this one.
I also think Houston will win this one, but there again, Houston has had some pretty big letdowns, especially in the second part of this season here. So, but, yeah, I'm going to go with Houston on that one as well.
Jacksonville going to New York Giants. Jacksonville has looked good the last couple weeks. But I'm still going to have to go for the Giants on that one, with it being in New York.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I like the Giants. They've been playing some good ball. But Jacksonville has been right there in the AFC. Maurice Jones-Drew has had some really good games. I am concerned about their opponent, but I'm going to step out there and give the underdog award to Jacksonville.
Well, we have this recorded, Tom, so we'll make sure I point that out next week to you. Minnesota going to Washington. I may go to Washington. Minnesota still has a lot of off-field things to deal with, along with injuries, before I would pick them.
I agree. Minnesota on that one. That one's a pretty easy pick for me on that one. I meant Washington.
Yeah, I know what you meant. Miami going to Oakland. I'm going to have to go with Oakland on that. They've been playing some pretty decent ball.
Well, Oakland's been playing some good ball. They are in Oakland. Miami's got to fly across the country. So there are some things against Miami. But Miami is starting to shape up a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and go with an underdog pick on this one as well and go with Miami.
Kansas City at Seattle. I'm going to go with Kansas City. Seattle has the potential to be just an unbelievable football team on offense, but they find ways to do stupid things. And I think Matt Castle will score pretty good fantasy points against the secondary of Seattle.
I agree. I think the Chiefs will do very well. Matt Castle's been playing some good games, so I'm going to go with Kansas City on that one.
Hey, Matt Castle has to. That's my quarterback this week. Tampa Bay going to Baltimore. I may go with Baltimore on this one.
Yeah, Baltimore is showing, again, that they're a team that's to be contended with in the playoffs, so I'm going to go ahead and go with Baltimore as well.
And then, of course, the city of champions, Philadelphia, going to Chicago. You know who I'm picking. I'm the redneck from Philly. No questions asked.
Well, I tell you what, I agree, and I think that Philadelphia is going to play a good game there, and, of course, Michael Vick is just tearing it up, so I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I'll take the Eagles as well.
None of that. I think our secondary is going to give Cutler more problems than he's had the entire year, and I'm not a big Cutler fan anyhow. St. Louis going to Denver. I like the Rams. I'm impressed with what they've done with such a young team. But I still have to go against St. Louis and take Denver on this one.
Yeah, there again, I agree. St. Louis has been doing good, and there's a good chance they'll even make it to the playoffs. But I think that in this particular situation, playing in the altitude that they're playing in, playing in the cold and playing in the elements, I think that's all plays against St. Louis, so I'm going to go with Denver on this one.
Then we have San Diego coming here to our beloved Colts. I'm going with the Colts, but I will say this. If they don't play one heck of a game on defense, Phillip Rivers will hurt the Colts.
I agree. The Colts have to be on their A game. Manning has to find his targets. He has to slow down a little bit. He has to focus a little bit better than what he did with the New England game, in my opinion. But I'm still going to give the game they're at the Colts. They come off a tough loss, a very tough loss against New England. San Diego is a familiar team with them. I think Colts will pull this one out. Go ahead. Who's on Monday night?
Monday night is San Francisco going to Arizona. It's in Arizona. I'm going to go for them.
I'm going to go with Arizona on that as well. They're playing out there in Sun Devil. I mean, it's a good matchup for Monday night, two West Coast teams. I think that, though, it'll eventually come to the that Arizona will win this game. Well, Kevin, I'm going to let you finish it up with some final thoughts. Again, guys, I apologize for our technical difficulties, our scratchy old man here that we got as a co-host. So, but, hey, we're working on getting everything together. Keep in mind that tomorrow we got Indiana close-up, which is taped, so we don't have to worry about Kevin's voice. So that one is taped, and so we'll be running that, and we're going to be talking a lot about the old Oaken Bucket. Go Hoosiers today. Had to throw that in. Didn't have time to break that game down, but we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the old Oaken Bucket and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kevin, go ahead and take us out of here. I have to go.
All righty, Tom. You have a good day. Be careful out there driving, brother.
Michael Vick starts sixth of the year, his second since injuring his ribs against the Redskins on October 3rd. John, what do we watch for with Vick?
Incredible production, running and passing. I have never seen Michael Vick play the position better.
With plays from about the 12, and there is Vick, as you talked about, John, rolling and launching downfield for DeSean Jackson, who accelerates, caught the opening play, and all the way for a touchdown! 88 yards! Backfield empty. First and goal, Vick. Dances. Running. In for the touchdown.
You'll see him drop back in the pocket. Nothing there to throw the football. But here's what Michael Vick brings to the table. Mobility, escapability, and a nose for the end zone. Look at the vision. He's still looking for the throw. But now once he's in space, he just makes people miss.
Vick shoveling McCoy. 21-0 out of the gate, Philadelphia. Hello. And they're rolling on possession 5 of the night. Vick taking another shot. This from Macklin. Jeremy Macklin pushed off. Caught it. Touchdown.
Well, those of you that know me as a redneck from Philly, you know I can't hear that sound bite enough. It was a great game. We want to thank you for joining us today. I apologize for the technical difficulties, my voice, and everything else today. Again, join us tomorrow for an Indiana close-up. It is taped before I lost my voice, so it should be a lot better for you to hear.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.